It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Clint and Brennan. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 5:30. Love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. This person says, the AD at Iowa was awful. How do you settle being that mediocre with that kind of support in major sports? Again, I think part of it is we don't know the dynamics on campus because, you know, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen, right? And in this case, the campus CEO, and I don't know if that's the chancellor or the president at the Iowa system, but either way, that person is allowing it to happen, right? Because ultimately it's their decision on who's employed as the director of athletics, and clearly, you know, Gary Barta doing an okay job from their perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of programs that would love to trade all of the, like, their situations and all of their major sports for what theirs are. I mean, it's easy to pick on starting with football right now because the offense was atrocious, right?
Terrible.
But all in all, that is a plus program and has been since Ferentz has been there. I think Iowa has been much better than what their history has been with McCaffrey at the helm. I mean, there's been tournament appearances. They're not lighting anything on fire, but at the same time, like, is there a situation where, okay, if we make a change, we may be taking an instant step back?
Is there an athletic department, let's put it this way, is there a university athletic department out there that better represents its state in terms of kind of, you know, matching the vibe of the state than Iowa?
No. No.
Slow to fire their terrible offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very little turnover, excuse me. You know, glacially slow to make a change in any program. That just screams Iowa to me.
And I'm not tuning in every week to, like, Hawkeye 97.3, but at the same time, it feels like this Ferentz's son situation.
Instead of the juice, they have the corn.
Every kernel of knowledge brought to you here on Hawkeye 97.3. It doesn't feel like maybe before this interesting move of keeping his son and everything that's kind of gone along with that, it doesn't seem like you've had non-support, though, for the coaches there. So I don't know how many heads have been called for from the fan base, and I think that's part of it. Now, again, that's just the outside view, but it certainly seems like there hasn't been a lot of, we got to get this guy out of here from the Iowa Hawkeye fan base.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, Iowa football is living off of the leather helmet days, just lucky to be in the Big Ten. Well, hell, Iowa just gave up the leather football helmets like 3 years ago. Kidding. Somebody says, I'm a trash fan, AD. I gave up on the team last night when all seemed bleak. Take my fan card, AD. Take it. Can we win it all, though? I went to sleep, man. What, it was a 9 to 5? I'm like, all right, this is, you know. Seen this before. Go to sleep. Wake up. Pleasantly surprised. So, you know, it was late, man. I'm not busting on you.
Well, Jamie and I talked about this. We were curious what the numbers were because, again, I don't know what the stats are, but I can't imagine that they're in your favor of a team that has already done that original, okay, we caught back up, and then immediately see that lead.
What a kick in the you-know-what.
From a run to back to four, and you're going, okay, well, that was it. You know, you had the chance. That was possibly the early nail in the coffin, so you're not alone in that. I don't know what we had a few people speak up, like, oh, yeah, that was me. I woke up super pumped about the score. But, I mean, yeah, don't feel bad.
Well, I mean, this has been a team that, and K-State jumping early on Kansas now 3-0 in the bottom of the second inning. you know, if this was a team that had inspired a bit more confidence, you know, with its play throughout the regular season, I think that maybe you know, I might give you a harder time for bailing out early. Mm-hmm. But they've been very, I mean, that's kind of this team. They've been very inconsistent. And so, you know, last night just kind of seemed like another chapter of the same story.
Well, and like to the fans' credit, and I'm not saying if you run into this situation next time, hey, just turn it off, even if it's late or not. That was the first time you were 0-14 when you were behind in the eighth inning. You were behind big.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it.
This in the chat line, yep, hit record in the sixth, down 9-5, fell asleep. Son woke me up when we won by yelling. Watched it this morning, glad I recorded. Robert says this, where's Hawkeye 97.3, LOL?
Somewhere in Iowa.
Sioux Falls. I don't know that I've ever been to Iowa. I don't think that I have.
I've been through it. Mm-hmm. I went to the birthplace of John Wayne. This birthplace of John Wayne's in Iowa.
Did you go there specifically for that?
I mean, yeah, we were driving through and on our way, we stopped in Winterset.
Oh, Iowa. Wow.
Did you go to the giant rubber band in Kansas on the way? Rubber band ball?
No, we wanted to avoid Kansas. Unfortunately, we weren't able to, but we quickly made our way through Kansas.
I've been to Ames on a trip one time, and then we went to Des Moines for a trip as well. But that's my only time in Iowa. Could you imagine? I can't think. And I know I just said all the. As far as if you do the mean and the average, that has been a successful program, not an elite program by any means. But could you imagine being a part of a bleaker fan base than Iowa football? That just seems like watching that product week in and week out would be a beatdown.
Well, I mean, I would guess that up until like two Novembers ago, Kansas football was pretty bleak to be a fan of.
Oh, yeah, it was. Can confirm. Check that.
I mean, it's bleak for a different reason, right? Like, so for the longest time, Kansas, you were just never competitive and you knew it.
Can
from
I
the
change
jump.
It to winning program?
Yeah, and with Iowa, it's you're pretty solid. You're just good enough to win more than you lose. Maybe 8 wins. I mean, I think they won 9 wins not that long ago. It's not like they've just been eking out 6-6s and 7-6s. But not good enough to win anything of consequence. Not good enough to really beat the good teams, right? The Michigans, the Ohio States, the Penn States. But not bad enough to really, you know, force everyone to kind of snap to it and make some, you know, changes that need to be made.
That's what, like, when you joke around of the boring Big Ten football brand. Oh, well, he knocked that. That's the team. That's the logo that pops up, right? Because they have been the shining example of that, of just a solid football team. Not a lot of fireworks, though. Feels just like a constant old school approach, tough nose defense, not afraid of the run game.
Afraid of the end zone.
Afraid of the end zone. Love putting out and getting in big offensive linemen. Yeah, how was that phrasing? But, yeah.
This is the chat line. If you've seen a cornfield, you've seen Iowa.
I think that's their state motto, actually.
Bullfighter says this. Glad to see the Bullfighter got unstuck. He says the Tech app sent out this screenshot that said Tech 9, Oklahoma 10. I was extremely confused this morning when I looked at Twitter. Somebody says this, Kansas didn't have football fans 2 years ago.
Pretty sure that the program had a 10-year hiatus where, you know, they stopped after 08 and they just weren't playing at all when Mangino left. And then they just actually restarted the program when they brought in Leipold. I don't think there was anything that happened in between then.
You think there's a group of like snobby Kansas football fans that were, you know, actively engaged with supporting, watching Kansas football during the It's a Dark period that kind of resent all the Johnny-come-latelys? I mean, you wouldn't know anything about this because you just started watching them last September.
It's Clinty-come-lately, the saying. No, I don't think so. It had turned into a sarcastic fan base. So when they would get a random Big 12 win once every 3 years,
High
it was like laughing at them. And I don't think that they took themselves seriously.
Jeff says this on the Children of the Corn show on Hawkeye 97.3. They often complain about time-consuming drives that keep ball from the defense. What would be the lineup for 97.3, Hawkeye 97.3? You got Children of the Corn, clearly afternoon drive.
Mm-hmm. Eye-to-eye with Hawkeyes. Black and gold standard.
I mean, would morning corn work?
Sure.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Clint and Brennan. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 5:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. We were spitballing the show lineup for Hawkeye 97.3 out in Sioux Falls. Jeff already gave us the name of our afternoon drive show. It's Children of the Corn.
Mm-hmm.
Someone suggests Corn Shuckers.
Okay. What about...
I feel like a lot of these could also be at like Big Red 97.3 in Lincoln. All the corn stuff.
The Venn diagram of those two, there's a lot of crossover.
Someone says Field of Corn. Someone else, No End Zone Corn.
What about Majors, Generals, Colonels?
The Stuno says this, The Early Roost for the morning show. I like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's very good. He also suggests Start the Tractor for the morning show. I don't like that one as much.
I think they have, when they go on food tangents, they call that show the Chicken Parmesan.
Okay, that's good. I'll allow that. Oil Red Raider says, instead of 80 and Dr. Gus, it's King Colonel and Cornflake. I mean, really.
You want to be King Colonel, right? You don't want to be Cornflake.
True. I think we might just go, you know, that's how we're going to be known now from here on. Like, I'm King Colonel. Like, that's just how it is.
Gus is usually here, so he's Cornflake.
El Jefe says, the morning corn harvest, the bottom kernel, end of the cob, the corn press, corn shatter.
The end of the cob.
Holly Hot Dog says, the Kansas adjacent happy hour. Update from Arlington, K-State leading Kansas 3-1. Kansas getting a run back in the top of the third inning. No outs for the Cats. Runner on second base as they look to expand their lead. This is the chat line, morning with Scarecrow and Tin Man.
I like that they called Chuck the Scarecrow, and equally that the Tin Man is Jamie.
Favorite way to eat corn?
Popped.
Popped? Brennan? And I'm going to, for the sake of this discussion, the high fructose corn syrup does not count. Like, you can't say, oh, in my Coke.
I wouldn't have gone that route. Yeah. I wouldn't have even thought of that route, but good point.
To answer the question, buttered.
Buttered corn, like on the cob?
Yes.
Mm. If I go on, I do like
sweet corn too. Sweet corn is very good too.
Sweet corn or street corn?
Sweet.
Oh, see, street corn. If I'm going on the cob, street corn all the way. So good.
Somebody says coffee and cornflakes.
There you go. I eat a lot of popcorn. That's one of my favorite snacks, which you have looked down on when I've said before.
Yeah, I don't like popcorn. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's gross, obviously. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not
top tier for you.
Yeah. Someone suggests corn nuts. I think that would be a good, like, post-game call-in show title.
Yeah. You've got corn nuts!
All right.
Thanks for calling on that 7-3 game. You've got corn nuts. Go!
We're in Iowa now in the last 50 minutes we have in the entire 18-year history of this program.
Ooh, overalls and underalls.
Mm.
It's their betting show.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah, I like that. Lucas suggests candy corn. Nope. Bubby Hot Dog says, I thought your favorite snack was room temperature beefaroni.
No, that's...
I would eat a bucket of candy corn yeah. every day. Just blend it all up and drink it like a Slurpee. Yeah.
I forgot about that. You did say that.
I did. It was like if, you know, hey, would you do that if Tech won a national championship or something?
No, yeah. I'm pretty sure we were just talking food,
no,
you know.
No,
Tech talk,
so.
Talking food.
Don't think we were doing that.
Room temp beefaroni, by the way, is just a stellar, really late lunch, not a snack. So let's just get that in there.
Do you really? Have you really consumed? Okay.
I've heard that, like, people will eat room temperature ravioli right out of the can, which is essentially the same thing. It's the same makeup in a different form. I've never done
like
that.
Like in, like, post-apocalyptic movies? Sure. Yeah.
Right.
I've seen that, too.
Right. Yeah. Top five apocalyptic foods, starting with just room temperature baked beans. Go.
Oh, so I would say probably
just jugs of water.
Man, that's a great question. I would probably try Spam in that scenario for the first time.
You never had Spam
before? Never had Spam before. Still would hard pass Vienna sausages.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like baked beans is the way to go. Like you get some protein.
That is the winner. I could do, which you would need a little bit more filling, but again, you're in a apocalyptic world, so not much you can do. Like just canned green beans, I'm all in. Prefer the French style. That's my favorite of them. I could do that for sure.
I think, I mean, listen, if it's post-apocalyptic, you're not really turning your nose up at anything, right? I would probably just, like, green beans, not my favorite. I would eat them. Baked beans, yes. Beefaroni, even, yes. Black-eyed peas, nope. I would pass those
that's
on.
High. Mm. That's high on my list. No. Could you imagine being in that situation and, like, your ribs are showing and you're like, do you have anything other than carrots? Gross. Icky.
I had carrots yesterday.
Yeah. Had anything else other than cherry tomatoes?
Oh, okay. Here's the best. Okay, in that scenario, the best canned item that you could come across, canned fruit salad.
Oh, uh-uh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could never do the fruit salad, especially with all the like. And I think part of it was there's always that one kid when you're in elementary and they give you the little cupped fruit cocktail or oranges that's a little bit too excited about it. And just goes straight into the slurpage noises of like, I love the juice. And just goes right into it.
You love the what?
The juice.
Okay.
And they
sounded
just
sounded like something else there for a second.
Juice.
Yeah, juice.
Juice. Like at 3:15. And they just make disgusting noises with it. And it's like, dude, make out with your cup of fruit somewhere else.
My only problem with the canned fruit cocktail is that outside of the cherry, everything else is pretty much the same color.
Which one's the like, pineapple? Which one's the mango?
Yeah,
you
mandarin,
decide.
Mandarin, orange, pineapple, grape. It's all like the same kind of like yellow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's like Iowa. Circle back.
This in the chat line. Damn, AD, is your co-host a caveman? No?
It's probably pretty fitting.
Top of the fourth now in Arlington, K-State, and Kansas. The winner will advance to play TCU on the other side of the bracket. They would need to beat TCU twice then to advance to the Big 12 championship game on Sunday. Tech, meanwhile, awaits the winner of Oklahoma State. That will get started tonight at 6:30, give or take, depending on the outcome of this game, the end time of this game, to be more specific. And the winner of that game tonight will then advance to play Texas Tech and the potential to face a team in the Big 12 championship.
What would your level of surprise be if it wasn't Tech versus TCU?
7.5.
Mm. That's about where I am. I think that the... this year in the Big 12, you know, and you've seen your own arm and pitching kind of issues. Yeah, you've seen both arms, your right and left. but everybody in the Big 12 has had a kind of similar outlook. And the team that felt the best about their pitching situation. Well, they said goodbye in two games, and that was Texas. And so I just would be surprised if the teams that have the one-game win advantage between Tech and TCU, as far as like who else do you have left in the tank between potentially a Kansas and Kansas State or potentially an Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, as much as you've had that issue, I would just be very surprised if the winner's advantage didn't follow through to the championship at this point.
Texter Gary, who do we want to play next?
I started out with going Oklahoma, but then you start thinking of the RPI help that you'd get if you beat Oklahoma State, and I've leaned back to the Cowpokes. So,
do you think? I mean, how much is that going to help you? I don't know that is going to put you on the 2-line versus a 3-line.
It's not gigantic, but it certainly helps, right?
Give me the Sooners. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Clint Scott and Brennan Riker. I'm Aaron Dickens. Dr. Mike Gustafson is out today. He took today off in order to get in line early for the Little Mermaid remake back on Tuesday. Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Visual Edge IT hotline.
See, it's stuff like that makes me think you actually did enjoy Disney Day yesterday.
This from Jeff. Strong 3, potentially better than a week 2, correct? I don't necessarily think that's true, right? Because it's all... I mean, it's basically they're ranking 1 through whatever, right? In the mm-hmm. top, you know, 16 or whatever are 1, the next 16 are 2, or the next 16 are 3. And so if you're a week 3 or a strong 3 or a week 2, you might be fairly close to each other on that line, but you're still week 2 is still stronger.
And even then, I think it's when it gets to that high 3, low 2, it's more of when you look at the teams in that bracket, who do you match up with? Well, like if you're looking at three other teams and their strength is pitching, probably not the best or in the best favor for this year's Red Raider squad. Or if you pull a team and all they do is get on base and steal and it's like lights out and move runners consistently, probably not the best pull. So I'm not sure if it's just as easy even of saying, oh, high 3 over low 2 or low 2 over high 3. I think it's more of who do you match up with.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll match up with a team that's like really strong in math. So the SEC will hold its spring meetings next week. And they are expected to finally settle on a scheduling model for 2024 and beyond. Of course, in 2024, they will be a 16-team league because they will welcome in Oklahoma and Texas. The finalists of these schedule formats, a 9-game format that would feature 3 permanent rivals and 6 rotating opponents, or an 8-game format that consists of 1 permanent rival and 7 rotating games. The easier format, the 8-team format, mm-hmm. has a new supporter, Nick Saban.
Oh.
Nick Saban, who long championed a 9-game conference schedule, who has long championed playing a Power 5 only schedule. Ooh, wow, that was a... terrible play by basically 3 Kansas outfielders. Just dropped a simple fly ball.
What did you say about being that's your co-freshman of the year, by the way, in the Big 12. Shoja Naga.
Yeah, well, and he had Shoja Nada in his glove. I'll be here all week. Well done. That was well done. Because Nick Saban is pouting because the three permanent rivals that he would have on his schedule, Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU.
I think it's interesting because it feels like...
You're Alabama!
It feels like...
What are you scared of?
A dramatic shift, and you can't go on one side. Yeah, we need to be doing Power 5. We need to be playing the top opponents, and then you get good opposition,
like,
and you
Alabama
back off.
Is that like Alabama coach Tom Brokaw?
Tom Brokaw. Rolled hard, huh? I didn't mean to go into that, but yes. It makes you look so soft. It makes you look afraid of opponents that you have consistently beat since you have been there. And since you have come to prominence and turned yourself into a dynasty, it makes you seem like you're worried about them, which shows... It shows a little fear to me.
It is ridiculous to me that the SEC appears to be on the verge of adding Oklahoma and Texas and then adopting a schedule that will have Texas playing Arkansas and A&M on a not consistent basis. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why bother?
Right.
I mean, like, you're going to make gobs of money, great. But from just a pure fan standpoint, a football standpoint, a product standpoint, you are so much more of appointment television, even for non-affiliated fans, if you have games like Texas and A&M, Texas and Arkansas, Texas and Oklahoma, Alabama, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, baked in every year. It's ridiculous. What a waste of time to bring in Texas and say, okay, hey, you'll play A&M like, I don't know, three times in the next 10 years.
So it's its own narrative that it slaps in the face that I love with this approach is we're the SEC competition-wise. We're head and shoulders above the rest. It doesn't matter week in, week out who we play because we're all on the same level. Except we would still rather have the chance to face Vanderbilt.
Can Vanderbilt be my permanent rival,
Missouri,
please?
And yeah, like it just completely slaps that in the face.
And then on top of that, there's on top of the just embarrassment, really, of Nick Saban and Alabama. Complaining about, oh, it's too tough. You also have the element of they are going to be at a decided advantage record-wise over the Pac-12, should it survive, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12 because they're only playing 8 conference games, and that matters. And they're instead of a 9th conference game, they're going to factor in their annual – November de facto bye week with Indiana State or the Citadel or South Carolina State or something like that.
Come on down, Youngstown State.
And if the College Football Playoff Committee has any guts whatsoever, right, should this pass, if they have any integrity, any guts, they will punish the SEC as a result, right? We heard it 2014, soft schedule for Baylor, soft schedule for TCU, right? That's been a ding against the Big 12 in the past whenever they've had a usually Oklahoma, it was TCU last year, had a team that has flirted with the playoff. Their record is good, and I think they're good, but that schedule is, they're playing Kansas and Iowa State. How good can they be? Hey, turn that around to the SEC, only playing a soft-ass 8 games.
And I'm not saying that this would even be still in the right, but it at least makes a little more sense if this was in the 4-team playoff era, but this is coming in with the expanded playoff era. Nick Saban, are you afraid you're not going to finish top 12 like you've done consistently since you've been there? That's what you're scared of? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty soft. And it's also a clear dividing point between the other 4 Power 5 conferences and the SEC. And so I would sure hope that those conference commissioners, you know, toughen up and kind of unite behind that in terms of holding the SEC accountable for their soft schedule.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's the juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Clint and Brennan. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 5:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Right now in Arlington, Kansas State leading Kansas 5-1. It's the Sunflower Showdown in Arlington. Winner of this game. Winner of this game will advance to play TCU, and will have to beat the Horned Frogs twice. Otherwise, TCU will play in the Big 12 title game. Tech, meanwhile, awaits the winner of Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. That game will start at 6:30, hopefully, in Arlington. The winner of that game will advance to play Texas Tech, and if Tech gets just one win in two tries against that team, they will advance to play for a Big 12 championship. The Texas Rangers are on the road tonight, taking on the Baltimore Orioles. First pitch from Baltimore, Camden Yards, 6:05 p.m. We'll have it for you here on Double T 97.3. Texas Tech, of course, walking off Oklahoma last night, 10-9. Red Raiders scoring three runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to secure the victory. They have now won the first two games in the Big 12 tournament for the first time under Tim Tadlock, which is staggering. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Radiation Station says, clarification, AD, did you say bases juiced or the word that Clint said when he was talking about fruit cocktail? No, I said they were juiced.
So did I.
No.
I said juice.
You said something different. This on the chat line. Isn't Texas Tech playing Tarleton, who was in the same conference with LCU a couple of years ago, this year? That is true. They are. They're playing Tarleton as one of their three non-conference games. Because, of course, the Big 12 plays nine conference games. And I think we can all agree that, you know, a conference opponent, whether you're in the SEC or in the Big 12, is going to be more challenging than your average non-conference opponent. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Alabama, right? They're playing Middle Tennessee in Tuscaloosa. They're hosting Texas, right? Alabama, to their credit, you know, always has one premier non-conference game every season. Mm-hmm. They play at South Florida. And then they have, again, the typical SEC mid-November de facto bye week. They play Chattanooga on November 18th between their road trips to Kentucky and Auburn.
Right, and those are the years you're talking. I mean, think about how much have we made fun of Baylor for just having a complete patsy non-conference, right? Alabama and SEC teams sneak that in, right? Because you look at, well, they got Texas, but then you look up and they have a New Mexico State and an Austin Peay in the same year. It's that angle. It's not that you have one of those on your schedule. That's that you have multiple. And right now you have the opportunity to kind of commit and back up how you feel about yourself. And to be honest, I mean, how voters and how the football world feels about you, because you've earned that by winning a bunch of championships. But to back that up, you have the opportunity to do that, double down, go to nine conference games. And the fact that kind of the one of the faces of college football and one of the faces of college football dominance is shying away from that is a little bit of a shame.
This is how Alabama's schedule breaks out. I'm not going to go game by game, but you know, you have your three non-conference opponents to start: Middle Tennessee, Texas, at South Florida. Then they have five SEC games, and then they have an actual bye week, and then they play LSU at home, at Kentucky, and then Chattanooga.
World beaters.
The Mighty Mox, and then Auburn. That's what we're talking about. They're gaming the system by inserting some kind of Sisters of the Poor team in November to kind of work in a light week. You know, Tennessee plays UConn on November the 4th. I'm just randomly clicking these teams, by the way. Tennessee plays UConn November the 4th before their last three games. Let's see. Where else am I going to go here? Georgia Bulldogs, reigning national champions. No, they don't. They play Georgia Tech at the end of their season, which I guess is easy enough. Auburn before their game against Alabama. New Mexico State. Pretty soft.
Mm-hmm.
You too can join the program. Would love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T. Like, Iowa would never do that.
No.
Iowa would never do that.
Iowa wouldn't dream of it.
LSU plays. This is LSU's last five games. Army at Alabama, Florida, Georgia State, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
This in the chat line from Val. Don't forget, Saban wanted to slow down up-tempo teams like Tech, requiring a certain number of seconds before the offense could snap the ball. This in the chat line. A few SEC programs schedule their patsy games in October and November because the weather is cooler for their homecoming. The boys and girls won't be sweaty in their duds. This on the chat line from Bobby Hot Dogs. Not that I'm defending Alabama, but the Big 12 gets to play perennial doormat Kansas every year, which some could argue is typically a softer opponent than a D2 school.
Those days are gone for now. I just, the thought of the SEC is a challenge in its own right because of who you're playing. Every single week, doesn't matter who you pull, it's going to be tough. And then you go, except we don't want those schools. We want the easier SEC schools.
What's
hilarious to me.
What do you do if, because the mission, right, is to judge these teams. If you're on the College Football Playoff Committee, judge the best teams in the country. But you're not really supposed to factor in what's happened before, right? It's supposed to be a snapshot of this year. What do you do for Georgia if they run through this thing undefeated? I mean, their toughest game, I guess, is at Tennessee in mid-November. This is their schedule. UT Martin, Ball State, South Carolina at home, UAB at Auburn, Kentucky at home, at Vanderbilt, Florida in Jacksonville, Missouri at home, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Georgia Tech. I mean... So Tennessee's probably the only ranked team on that schedule.
And if they're running through the table, then I'm assuming they're winning the SEC championship game as well. So there's your other ranked
your
win.
Your one quality win?
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see if maybe Florida bounces back a little. I don't think they will. But if you run the table in that conference, I mean, you win that, even though you may be looking at a team from the other side who has arguably had a harder route. And I'm not saying that with the we don't want to face Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee, because I do think that's a tough trio of opponents, and it's going to be a tougher trio than someone else might pull. But still, at the end of the day, even though it may be from the other side, a team had a tougher one and they had a loss, or maybe they went through it and they were the loss to Georgia in the SEC championship game. Like, if that's Alabama, it's still Georgia went through the conference, and they did go through, as much as I'm bagging on them right now, the toughest conference in football, and they went unscathed, and they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And I think as a conference, they have earned that. But at the same time, I mean, Georgia just ran the table in the SEC. Why would they not get that?
Texas goes undefeated. Georgia goes undefeated. They're the only two undefeated teams in college football. I think Texas should get the nod. Assuming that, listen, assuming
it depends
that, like,
how they won. Like, if, yeah, they, if it was a similar win.
If it's like 13 1-point wins, obviously not, right? Sure. If we're just assuming kind of run-of-the-mill victories here.
Yeah, because Texas would have the Alabama win.
In Tuscaloosa, there. Right? We're assuming that, you know, Georgia would have a win over an Alabama or an LSU, something like that in the SEC title game.
In that scenario, Texas, yeah, I agree. I think they get the nod by a slim margin.
Yeah, I agree. And that sounds crazy. This in the chat line. Patsy, yes, but I don't think that Tarleton was in the conference with LCU. They were in a conference with Abilene Christian. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Clint and Brennan, I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining today until 5:30. I'll figure that out at some point. We'll have Rangers baseball coverage coming up at that time as they take on the Baltimore Orioles.
I'll probably be leaving at 5:30 if you want to stay till 6.
No, I'll be out too.
Just making sure.
Top of the sixth now in Arlington. A runner on first, one out. K-State up 5-1 on Kansas.
I've seen more just like T-ball. Well, you've seen it a little bit if you have happened to watch any sort of Sunday version of this Kansas baseball team. But that has been this one where it's like Friday night, usually solid pitching, and the offense goes with the momentum. The defense usually backs to an extent. Maybe you get that on a Saturday, and Sunday it's T-ball defense. It's booked in right now with what they're doing with Kansas State. So if it's not purple against purple tomorrow on that side of the bracket, I would be surprised.
Okay. You had a question?
Oh, I did, yeah. So you have said you are boredom proof.
True.
Brennan, as a 40-year-old, are you boredom proof? Have you learned that yet?
What did you say?
Boredom proof.
Boredom proof.
You can't be bored.
I am not boredom proof.
Yeah. How long would you last in a room where you're just sitting there, white walls, nothing in it? I'll give you a chair so you can sit a little more comfortably. How long would you last?
Just a chair?
Just a chair.
So I think it would largely depend on what the stakes were.
Okay, what kind of prize?
I mean, if there was some kind of like significant monetary prize, then I could, I mean,
here, I think here, it's $500,000. And you're competing against like five other people you don't know.
That would be
you just have to last longer than them, but you have no idea whenever they stop.
It's like a loan. I don't know that that would be like a very entertaining reality show, but I like to watch it nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. It seems more like
You would like to watch it when people get to like day five and they start.
I
want to
watch the wrap up. Yeah, the recap, the highlights.
You want to watch the bad auditions of singing shows.
Man.
That would be something you could do like with the going to different webcams. You have been like tuning in at a place in Louisiana or tuning in a place in Japan. And that way you don't have to like watch it as an episode, but you're just like, hey, I kind of wonder what this person's doing right now. How crazy are they yet?
Because I think that it would be extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely difficult. And part of it is, too, that you just, the absence of any kind of clock.
Mm-hmm.
I can make it a few days.
I don't know how long I would last, but I would lose. I would lose. Oh, and I would probably be in the bottom two of five in that scenario. I think I would last. I think I would make it 12 hours.
12 hours? Safe.
It feels like I would just make it 12. And I would have come out of there and been like, I can't believe I made it a week. I did it, guys.
Somehow your hair is down to your back. Your fingernails are,
they
2 inches
in,
long.
I have marked days on the wall of what I think it's been.
You're like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I'm talking to the chair.
What year is it? What's a chair brand?
I feel like the move with the chair would be to turn it on its back so that you can use the back cushion as a pillow.
Brands of chairs.
This on the chat line from Radiation Station. The SEC Big Dogs have regularly scheduled a non-conference passing team very late in the season, which is basically a second bye week. Right before games that matter, Nick Saban can kick rocks.
Here you go. Herman Miller mirror chairs. And just Herman! Herman!
Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, I don't think.
Well, none of them are.
Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Visual Edge IT hotline. Are we now at a point where we're going to be, I mean, you're going to be disappointed if they don't play for a championship here, right? If Tech doesn't somehow win one of the next two games?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, one, I don't think that you are wasting any arms. Like, let's say if you lose first game tomorrow against whoever it ends up being, I don't think you're just throwing all of your arms in the trash just to try to win the Big 12 championship. But at the same time, you're in the same kind of boat that everybody is, because I don't think any of the teams are doing that when you're looking at regional play. And everyone's going to be out of gas to an extent, and you're going to get to a point where you're seeing a starter who usually isn't a starter, or maybe you're seeing a Brendan Gurton and hoping that, okay, here's the mound. Try to get right for what you've seen since week three. But all that being said, I mean, you have the advantage right now. Like, you just got to get one tomorrow. And so I would say at least you're disappointed if you're at least not playing on Sunday. That would be my takeaway.
How disappointed are you right now if you graduated in December at the University of Massachusetts? Because you should be this is commencement season, right? Robert Hale is founder of a company called I think Granite Communications, something like that. He's a billionaire, right? He was the commencement speaker at UMass today. He gave away $1,000 in cash to every person at that ceremony today. Oh, like, man. Here's your diploma. Here's your envelope.
I guess...
I hate it here.
Yeah. I guess the way that I would look at it is, if I had graduated in December, didn't get said $1,000 handed to me, would it have been worth, if you knew that, maybe I stretch out and make it another semester for the
$1,000 class?
Yeah. What's that $1,000 really worth to you? But at the same time, going, what the heck? Why don't you just? We should get $1,000. Send us a check in the mail. But
you got a D in something and you missed out. You got to graduate in summer one. To retake a class.
That would be worse.
That would be
because
terrible.
You did that to yourself. Yeah. And you saw it going in front of your eyes to who you should have been graduating with. That one would suck.
This in the chat line from Texter Gary. I thought it was interesting that the announcers last night mentioned intended schedule and used Gonzaga as an example, referring to strength of schedule. Yeah, it's a great way to look at it because, you know, in some instances you can tell teams, and this goes for other sports too, that they didn't really try hard to challenge themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about Baylor in the past, and certainly that was true of Texas Tech football for the longest time under Mike Leach. But the Red Raiders tried to, right? I mean, Gonzaga was supposed to be decent. They didn't really help you. It's kind of like Tech basketball, right?
I was going to go, this is back-to-back sports that this has happened to you because, I mean, you look in the built-in parts of your schedule, like from a basketball perspective, and you're going, SEC should get a decent opponent. You get LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Big East should get a decent opponent. You get just an awful pull in Gonzaga. You're going, okay, we're...
Georgetown.
Sorry, Georgetown. Wrong G. Juice. I need to listen to that one back. I don't...
Would you like me to make a hotkey?
No, probably not. But you're like, hey, we're going to Hawaii. You know there's going to be solid opponents over there. And it just turns into all of the polls that you got that were built into your season that were going to be net ranking builders were just kind of pathetic. Really big disappointments.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of TT973 podcasts at TT973.com.